Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preach this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
When you hear the phrase, like a girl, what comes to mind?
I think immediately like a negative connotation. I think for so long, you know, you throw like a girl, run like a girl was so negative. But now when I think about it, it is incredibly empowering. And especially now that I have had a child, you know, like a girl, like the strength that women have is amazing. And we bring life, we are the vessels to bring life.
So who are you, your name, your backstory, how did you get to Shepherd's?
Yep. So my name is Sarah Ellis. I came to Shepherd's through a mutual friend of Michael's, my close friend Brittany. And I remember, you know, Ryan and I had been talking about going back to church, and we knew that we wanted to send Olive to Lakeland Christian, and so that was very important for us to start going back before all of that happened. And Brittany, you know, we were a little hesitant. There's church hurt and, you know, the story. But Brittany, I remember Brittany saying, the only church that I would go to is my friend Michael's church. And so we thought, well, we'll give it a try. And then we never left.
Soon after coming to Shepherd's, Pastor Michael and Allie asked Sarah to help new moms with care packages, baby showers, and meal trains.
When did you first feel called to this kind of ministry?
Well, when I was pregnant, I had, it's funny because I very much relate to the story with Elizabeth and Mary. I had a friend who was pregnant. She was 3 months ahead of me at the same time that I was pregnant. And she had been a mom before, and just the wisdom and reassurance and strength that she gave me was invaluable. And I remember telling her, you know, there's no way that I could pay you back, like, for what you've given me. And her response being, just pass it on. You know, anytime you have a chance to, not necessarily mentor, but to give back to somebody, to do that. And when this opportunity came, I knew that it was one of the best ways that I could.
Elizabeth responds with joy and celebration. Why is celebration important in your ministry?
I think celebration is important because, again, you know, there's so many people that maybe don't have that around them, and it is such an important, amazing time. And in addition, you know, a lot of emphasis gets placed on the baby, but the mother is also completely changing and transforming physically, mentally, emotionally. And, you know, the story of Elizabeth is really cool because she had waited so long to become pregnant. And as somebody that had difficulties becoming pregnant and just trusting and hoping and praying that God would fulfill that, and then she did. And here comes Mary, you know, 6 months into her pregnancy, and Mary's like, I didn't even want to be pregnant. And I definitely saw that when I was going through my journey. And the fact that Elizabeth could just instantly, she was happy for her and praised her. There was no jealousy, no, you know, envy in that. It was just, and she recognized who Mary was pregnant with. Just following that guidance in celebrating the women today that are pregnant is just an honor.
How do you see strength expressed in the women you serve?
Pregnancy is one of the hardest things that I went through, that I've ever been through. It is weird. You are growing a human inside of you, and it's weird. Your body is changing, your brain is changing, and the strength that it takes to not only grow this human, but also then to live everyday life, to go to work, to come to church, to, if you have other kids, to be a mom and a wife or a daughter or whoever you are. And to just continue to live that life, especially in those first, well, for me, it was my whole pregnancy. I was sick. And so to just continue to live life, like the strength that it takes to just keep going is miraculous.
How has this ministry shaped your own faith?
It's provided me a way to be able to give back that, again, doesn't make me the center of it. I can work behind the scenes and organize a way for women to work together or families to work together to give back to somebody during this time in their life and to support them. You know, there's so many different ways that pregnancy can go. It can be really easy. It can be really, really hard. It can come early, like we heard Lauren last week. It can go real late, you know? So, I mean, everyone's circumstance is so different. And so being able to rally the church and the families in the church to help support somebody that might need it has just really strengthened my faith and allowed me to give back without being loud about it.
I love that. What would you say to someone who feels like they don't have big gifts to offer?
I don't either. Like, you know, like I would say good, because sometimes the big gifts, I mean, it's the small gifts are just as important. You know, I'm outgoing and friendly, but I'm also introverted and shy as well. And, you know, maybe creating a spreadsheet and creating an intake form and ordering a t-shirt might be my gift. And that's not as big as being able to get up. It doesn't seem as big as getting up on stage on Sunday morning and singing, but it's just as important.
Where do you see opportunities for our church to better support families?
I'm really excited to see where this ministry is going to go. It's very new. I would love to eventually see almost like a closet where women can come or families can come to, expectant mothers that maybe aren't able to purchase certain items or are in need. The community could come that's in need with donated, you know, gently used. So much of what we get at baby showers and when you're pregnant are used for months and then that's it. And they're these really well-made, sometimes very expensive items that are like new and you're stuck with them and you don't want to get rid of them, but it's also like, well, now what do I do with this? Because they have moved on, they have outgrown this and you're into other things. And so having a place where we can donate, I would love to see that happen.
So what does it look like to have faith like a girl?
Having faith like a girl, I think, is very powerful. There's a power in it. I think, again, I think for so long, it was, I mean, we all know, you know, being a girl was so, oh, you're over here, whatever, but there is a strength in being a girl.
Thank you so much to Sarah and all the other women that have said yes to this crazy ask of being interviewed and talking about your faith and how God has used it. If you are a little person, now is your chance to get out of here and go have fun with Miss Allie. We will miss you while you are gone. Hey, I don't know if you guys remember, but a little bit ago, a little over a year ago, I said, hey, next Mother's Day, we're going to have only men teach kids church. And we didn't do that. But next year, boy howdy. So boys, the next time that we've got a CYPP training, you're there with a big smile on your face, ready to make sure the kids know that God loves them and gives these women a Sunday off. You hear me?
Yep.
All right, great. Thank you, Michelle. appreciate that. Yeah. Men are more strong in their assertiveness and silent. As we finish our series, as we finish up our time in our series, Like a Girl, I am glad we are also celebrating Mother's Day. All of us came from mothers, and our story today centers around two moms. These two women give us an example of the cooperative love we can all share. They give us a glimpse into a future where community means more to us than ourselves. This story is so vital, so important, and today I want you to hear something that's so important, and I'll talk about this more in just a moment, but today I learned something new about the Bible that I had never heard before, and it's only because I listened to the voice of a woman.
So this Like a Girl series is more than just a sermon series. It really is a new way of seeing God's word. And I am so grateful that we get to share this together. The number one thing I want you to hear me say today, if you don't hear anything else from me, I hope you hear this. May we love others wildly as we learn to love ourselves. May we love others wildly as we learn to love ourselves. I'm very sad to see Like a Girl, the series, end. Tom, our tech director, is not. He has been editing all of these videos for me, and so he is very excited to not have any more videos. Good job, Tom. He will hear that in spirit because he went home because he's also sick. He's fine, I think. I don't know. I haven't checked. But what he told me this morning was, and I quote, you get nothing, Michael. And I was like, good morning. What do you mean by that? And he said, you get the video and you don't get scripture, you don't get notes, and you don't even get action points. I was like, heard. Thank you so much, Tom. And he said, whatever. And then it was great. It's a wonderful way to start my morning. Love you, Tom. But to that end, if you would like to read along or you'd like to take notes, you will have to go to the Church Center app. This is not some ploy to make everyone use the app. Enough of you already do. And those of you who don't are just missing out. So go ahead and use the app if you'd like to take notes. And if you would like to follow the scripture, you can go to the Church Center app or digital Bible, or you can use a paper Bible. The battery never dies on those. And we are reading from Luke chapter 1. So sword drill, Luke chapter 1, going to verse 39 is where we will begin. Here at Shepherds, we have a tradition where at the reading of God's word, we say this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Then all of you will say thanks be to God, but we like to add a little extra oomph on the end. So we add the word woo. So be ready with your woo. All right. Hear the word of the Lord. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, God has blessed you above all women and has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey friends, it's Pastor Michael. We are just so grateful for every last one of you that listens to the It's Better When You're Here podcast. We are so excited that we get to share in this work of ministry and the messages that are preached every week at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church. We wanted to give you an opportunity. If you want to be a part of what God is doing here at Shepherds here in Central Florida, and you would like to give, you can go to shepherdsumc.com/give, and you can find a way to give that way. Any support really helps us produce this podcast, but also helps us love our neighborhood around the world very, very well. So thank you for tuning in, and now back to the podcast.
Very good. So some important context for us to understand this scripture, all right? The first is that Mary is that Mary that you've heard about before. You've seen her wearing the blue headdress, maybe on the back of a pickup truck or in a grotto in front of someone's house. You've seen this Mary before. This is the Mary that carried God into the world. Mary, the mother of God, is what the early church called her. She carried Jesus in her womb. She was a young woman, probably somewhere between 13 and 16 years old, a very young woman. That was common for your first pregnancy to come about around that time, during her time. But she was not engaged. She was engaged, but she was not married. She did not have any reason to suspect that she was going to become pregnant. So she shows up and she visits her friend Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is a different story. Elizabeth was in her 40s or 50s and had tried to become pregnant for a very long time, and it just never happened. Mary was in her teens and came to visit Elizabeth. And in this story, we see these two types of mothers. I think we have a picture not of them, but of actresses playing them. No one got a picture of that back in the day, and sadly. You know, you always want to take a picture of the best times. But Mary and Elizabeth are there together. They are pretty sure they're cousins, but they're related. They're close to each other. They are friends, and we see this moment, this juxtaposition of someone who has tried desperately to become a mother and someone who is really not interested in the idea. Quite surprised when she finds out that she is pregnant, and in this moment, we see this joy crashing together. We see this joy and this hope and this love that points us towards what God is still at work doing in our lives. May we love others wildly as we learn to love ourselves. All right, introverts in the room, I just want to give you a heads up. I am going to have you turn and talk to a neighbor, someone you don't know, in just a moment, okay? It's going to be in a little bit, so just take a deep breath. Believe in yourself. You'll be okay. You will survive. But I always want to give introverts a little bit of a heads up, so that you don't never come back to church, all right? So just be ready for that, okay? In this series, Faith Like a Girl, we've been looking and exploring what it means to have faith like a girl, looking at what society tells us girls are like and realizing that that really doesn't fit with the image that we see in God's word. And also really doesn't fit in what we see in the history of the church. We see that women have constantly been at the center of leadership and care and evangelism and loving the world and changing the world. And no matter how much society tells us that being like a girl is being weak, we see again and again that simply does not hold up to the evidence. I'm so thankful to all the women that have said yes, hearing from Stephanie and Lauren and Sarah and Gretchen. Hearing those stories has been so vital, so important, because it's easy to read about Deborah in the Bible. It's easy to read about Mary or Elizabeth or any other woman that you find in the Bible. It is much more impactful to look at a woman in the eye and hear her story, to hear the faith that Lauren, Sarah, Stephanie, and Gretchen had and shared. It makes us realize that there are people among us that have exhibited incredible power and strength, and here they are. Centering the stories of women has taught me what I was missing. And this is where I've already had the call out, but I want to draw special attention to it. I don't know if you noticed in Sarah's video, but she talks about this juxtaposition between Elizabeth, who had tried desperately to become pregnant, and Mary, who was not interested in becoming pregnant at all. And that juxtaposition, that realization that Elizabeth, if she was like a mere mortal, would probably be a bit jealous, a bit uncomfortable, a bit maybe even angry in a strange sense. I don't want to brag or anything, but I have a master's of divinity. And that sounds just about as expensive, heavy as it was, right? I've taken so many New Testament classes. I've taken Old Testament classes. I've taken classes on things that you probably don't need to learn, and I didn't take classes on things that you do need to learn. I wish seminaries had like an HVAC course. That would have been really, really nice. And not once had I ever had this jewel pointed out to me. Elizabeth is not only prophesying that Jesus is the Son of God, she is also letting go of her own pain to honor the woman in front of her. What a gift it is to have that taught to me. We miss the whole gospel when we miss all the people. Unless we are willing to listen to every single person that God has put in front of us to bear God's image, unless we're willing to listen to them, we are going to miss the gospel. May we love others wildly as we learn to love ourselves. So the child leaped in Elizabeth's womb. My sisters are a little bit older than me, and so I first became an uncle when I was 10. All right, my oldest nephew is old, and I pretty much grew up around pregnant women. No shade to my sisters who I think are watching worship this morning, but I feel like every time they visited us, they either had a baby, just had a baby, or about to have another one. I was like, you're pregnant again? It feel like that's what it was for like about 15 years there, and they kept having these babies, and so I feel like I grew up around pregnant women. Like I thought I knew a little bit about it, and until, Amanda became pregnant. And by the way, my girls are at home because Amanda got a really special gift for Mother's Day, and it's a cold that she got from Annabelle. Because nothing says Mother's Day quite like getting a cold from your kid. As I was leaving worship at Chapel Campus, someone else's kid sneezed on my hand. anyways, I digress. And so until Amanda got pregnant, I didn't realize that the baby jumped. But I kind of thought that it felt, you know, like you had butterflies in your tummy. And then when Annabelle got in there, I'm seeing elbows, I'm seeing feet, I'm seeing just like pressing out of the tummy, realizing like that thing is alive, man. You know, do you know that babies take the calcium from the mother's blood? And so moms get, I'm telling this to a room full of moms. So like you can get cavities after you have a baby. Sometimes your hair will fall out because babies just take it. They just take it all, right? Again, I tell a room of moms. This sort of powerful thing that feels intensely personal, right? Intensely, intimate, that it's inside, literally inside of your tummy, that is a different sort of thing, a different thing that is present. Elizabeth has this baby in her womb that leaps, right? This baby leaps in her tummy. And instead of thinking, how does this affect me? Elizabeth feels the leaping of the baby and recognizes that something else is going on. If we are on the lookout, we will see God everywhere. If we're on the lookout, we will see God everywhere. Elizabeth only sees this because she has been selfless. In the carrying of this baby, she has realized that there is someone in front of her that is also carrying a baby, and that this person needs her care, that this person needs her attention, her love. Elizabeth feels her baby leap and realizes that something else is going on. If we are on the lookout, we will see God everywhere. May we love others wildly as we learn to love ourselves. And we learn from this passage that celebrating others is important. Sarah shared about the ministry that we have here for new moms, new families. We, of course, have the Isaacson, a little baby boy. We also, over at the Chapel campus, we have Ellie Smith, who was just born 3 days ago. The babies, they keep happening. And so we get to celebrate these new babies that are in our midst. We celebrate them in some small ways. Sometimes we'll do a baby shower if we're able to pull it off, or we'll do a meal train if that works for the family. But one thing, if you wanted to look it up right now, you could. If you go to our website and click on the merch button, we have a onesie for all of the babies born in our church family. And it says, "It's better because you're here," right? Come on, that's pretty dang cute, right? And so that's a part of the celebration that we have, because celebrating is important. In just a little bit, we're gonna celebrate the Lord's table. We're gonna celebrate because celebration is important. Not only does Elizabeth see Mary, she celebrates her. Celebrating someone else is a selfless act that draws a spotlight of God's love on that person. Sarah's ministry is simple, but it is not small. And I might add, Sarah's ministry of coordinating all of this is simple for her. If you asked me to coordinate five, I could do five things. But if a sixth thing happens, it's all going to fall apart. I might show up with like my shirt unbuttoned or like in someone else's car. How many of you have ever gotten in someone else's car? I was in Ireland. This is tangential. I was in Ireland and I got in the driver's seat of someone else's car. We're talking Interpol, right? And I only realized it was not the car because they had mints in their cup holder. And I thought, we didn't have mints. That's not ours. I got out. It's a blue car. I was driving a red car. The car that we were driving, two doors, that car, four doors. That's just theft at that point, right? So coordinating those things is not for me, right? Details, not my thing. The staff all know the details, not my thing. But your giftedness is not an accident. It is for a purpose. The giftedness that you have is not an accident. It is for a purpose. There is someone in this world that desperately needs the thing that you think is easy that everyone else thinks is difficult. You know, details, Google Sheets, Excel spreadsheets, not my jam. Hard for me to do. For some of you, it is as easy as falling asleep. For me, standing up here and yapping, easy. I literally do it even when people don't want me to. It is so easy for me to do. By God's grace, I'm able to do it every Sunday. Now, introverts, this is what I warned you about. It is time for you to turn to a neighbor and discuss this question. What is easy for you that others have a hard time with? What is easy for you to do that others have a hard time with? I want you to turn to someone, bonus points if you didn't come with them, and discuss that question. What is easy for you that no one else finds easy to do? All right, friends, what did we learn about ourselves other than, wow, we've got a great sound system here. Would someone raise their hand, share something that's easy for them that other people find hard? I'd love to learn something about someone. Hey, but yeah. Talking to people. I do know that about you, that's for sure. John?
Math.
I heard bath at first, and I was like, well, good for you, John. Math. Yes, absolutely. Reading. I'm very impressed by this. I'm not good at reading. I have a hard time with that. Haley?
Singing.
Yes, absolutely. We all know that Haley's pretty good at singing, right? Nick?
High volume.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's the truth. Yeah, for sure. I have talking to strangers. Like, I don't have a hard time talking to strangers. I kind of like it. Like, it makes me happy to, like, talk to someone I don't know. I went to South Dakota week before last, and I was like, if you gave me 9 days, I think I could be the mayor of this town. Like, I feel like I could do it, you know? But the giftedness that you have, the things that you carry, the volume, the singing, the math, the reading, these things that you possess and talking to people, these things that you have, these are gifts. These are gifts. And I think sometimes we get lulled into the thought that we don't have any gifts to share, because the things that we don't recognize as gifts are the things that God has specifically placed within us. My favorite thing to do is to thank people for what they do for the church. Thank you so much for serving in this way, in this way, in that way. And the number one response I always get is, I literally did nothing. It was so easy. That's what I hear from our nursery staff. Thank you so much for serving in this way. Oh, it's nothing. It's just hanging out with kids. Raise your hand if, it's just hanging out with kids is like your nightmare, right? Yeah, yeah. Now, it's babies. It's so fun. It's a what? Fun? Fun, you pronounce nightmare strange. It's this reality of like this giftedness that we carry. I think Elizabeth had a special giftedness that we get to recognize 2,000 years later. Elizabeth saw Mary rolling up, being all pregnant, and talking about how surprising it was as she became pregnant. And Elizabeth, in her older age, knowing how very difficult it is to become pregnant for some people, recognizing that and seeing instead of selfishness or her own pain, instead recognizing the joy that Mary had and that she could share. Serving God should and will bring joy. I grew up in a tradition where serving God meant that you had to be suffering. That if you were going to really serve God, you had to go and be a missionary in a place where you didn't like the food, you didn't know the people, right? You had to go and we met all these wonderful, missionaries from places and be like, how is it? And they're like, the burden is steep, but we are very sad. Okay, that sounds bad. You see people singing in worship and instead of hearing about how much joy it brings them to serve and worship, you hear about how many Sundays they have to serve and how they just really wish that someone else would take their place and the pain, we don't hear that here, but the pain that they have of, it's so terrible. No, serving God can and should bring joy. May we love others wildly as we learn to love ourselves. Elizabeth says here, happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her. Celebrating someone else will never rob you of joy. I'm the baby in my family, if you can't tell by all of my neurosis, but I spent the first like 10 years or so of having birthday parties for me being the biggest thing that have ever happened to my family. And then my dumb sisters had dumb babies and I had to go to their birthday parties. Lame. There was no cake for me and there were no presents for me either. It was terrible. This realization that, you know, other people have birthdays, weird. I think it's fake news. But then I began to realize that the joy is actually celebrating others. Christmas had started to stop being so magical for me. And then 10 years ago, y'all, tangentially, my baby girl is turning 10 tomorrow. And I'm not, clap for my sadness. I'm not doing okay. Like, I'm so sad. It's the goal, I know, but I miss, stop it. Yeah, double digits. She keeps saying double digits. And I'm like, I know, but stay a baby. She's 120 months old. Wait until she's 13. Yeah, no, I know, right? Yeah, absolutely. Anyways, but then when that tiny little baby came home 10 years ago, Christmas became something new. You know, Christmas is sustained by the parents of little babies. You know, being able to celebrate someone else will never rob you of joy. Serving others will always return more as well. When you're serving others, you will always get more back than you have put in. I wonder what thing you are good at will help you lift someone up. I wonder what thing you are good at will help you lift someone else up. I wonder who is waiting to hear or see God from you. I wonder who is waiting to hear or see God from you. Your giftedness is not a mistake. It is so desperately, desperately needed. May we love others wildly as we learn to love ourselves. I saw the way that my dad served the church in a very tactile and real way. My dad came to the country when he was in third grade, learned English, and did a very good job of learning it. Sometimes he would fall into French grammar, like throw me down the stairs, my shoes, and could never really do his TH sounds. But because of that, he was not an out front leader. I get all my razzle-dazzle from my mom. And my dad was kind of a quiet, reserved sort of leader. And the Baptist church that I grew up in Boston trusted him with a big bag of coins. Let me explain. We had soda machines at our church, and that was kind of the main fundraiser for the youth ministry. It was the 90s, so I think it was the only fundraiser for the youth. And people would buy sodas, and then we had all these coins, and someone had to count them. And Emery LeBlanc was the guy. So he took the coins and I have this distinct memory, the smell of coins on the table, all over the table. And I come in and I say, Dad, we're rich. Look at this, this is amazing. And he goes, no, Mike, it's for the church. I'm gonna count them all up, put them into, I'm gonna wrap them up, I'm gonna take them to the church, and it's gonna help you sisters go to camp. It's like, okay. And so he's counting them. He uses his middle finger. Counting underneath his breath. And he rolled them all up, put them into the little things, and then he had stacks of rolls of coins and brought them into the church, and then my sisters got to go to camp. Why do I tell you this story? Because the world will try to convince you that that's not a gift. Your own spirit, maybe even the enemy, will try to convince you that sitting there quietly and getting the count right is not a gift. Let me tell you how that would happen. If your pastor was in charge of counting the coins. The coins, number one, would stay in the back of my car for at least 6 months, right? They would just be there safe. I would lock my car, it'd be fine. They gotta get some seasoning on them, right? I'd get them out, I'd dump them on the table, I'd walk away immediately because something shiny is over here, right? And then I would do that, and then Amanda would say, what are all these coins? I'd say, I feel like it's something for church. I don't know, I can't remember. And then I would finally count them only 7 months later, and the count would be wrong. And that is what would happen if that's what I was going to do. There is something. I am telling this story, but I can tell this story in a myriad of different ways. And some of you are perfectly made to celebrate someone, to serve in your giftedness, to be like Elizabeth, to see that someone else needs love and lean in to that service. May we love others wildly as we learn to love ourselves. All right, two things for you today, two action steps that I want you to take this week to put this sermon into action. The first one is this. I want you to look for God in others. I want you to be on the lookout like Elizabeth was. I want you to be on the lookout for the way that others are reflecting the light of God. If you keep your eyes open, you will see God reflected back to you. I know that you will. And the second one is this. I want you to look for your giftedness and then act. I want you to look for the thing that is easy for you and might be hard for others, and I want you to act. What does it mean to act? I want you to email me at pastor@shepherdsumc.com. Tell me what you are gifted at, and we will do our best to help you shine. We will do our best to help you shine in your giftedness. May we love others wildly as we learn to love ourselves. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed.